James chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 7, the Bible says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." James, in his instruction book to his fellow believers, is saying to each one of us that we are to guard our hearts, that we are to keep ourselves in check, that we are to make sure that we're prepared in our hearts to do things God's way in expectation of standing before God wholeheartedly, I believe, and unashamed. And what does that mean? It means seeking to live as Christ would have us to live. And living with the anticipation that God will be so pleased that he will say, "Well done, the good and faithful servant." And James is now closing his letter, and he is increasing the intensity, I believe, as he is seeking to drive the very point of all that he has written to the believers, to you and I. He is increasing the intensity as he's seeking to increase the reader's desire to know more of God and to live for God without compromise. You hear me? To live for God without compromise. And that's a lot about what I was talking to the kids about who were going off to school last week, saying, be careful that you do not allow people to make you compromise your faith. That's what James is talking about here. Maybe this would be a good little book for kids going off to school to read, to say, stand firm in what you believe. James wants us, his readers, to desire to be with God. Lord, I want to be with you. And our text begins, "Be patient, therefore." And to make sure that we understand the writer's meaning, we have to go backwards and see what the therefore is there for. That's always a good way to read your Bible. When you run across the word therefore, you need to go back and see what it's there for. All right, so go back and look to figure out where this whole point started that God inspired the writer to give us. Now, I believe with James chapter number 5, verse 7, that therefore goes all the way back to James chapter 4, verse 8. So let's go back there so that we can understand what it is that James is telling us as he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." In verse number 8 of James chapter 4, the Bible reads this way, "Draw nigh to God." Now, if you were to read back a little bit more in James chapter 4, there was another therefore that he spoke about just before this one. And I think that was the explanation or the answer to some verses that he had before. But here, starting in James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Go to now," or listen up, "pay attention, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting." So he's talking to us about humbling ourselves. He starts by saying, draw near to God and let God draw near to you. Then he starts talking about the pride that men are just holding up into their hearts. Pride that is getting in the way of true faith and faithfulness to God. True worship and worship with other believers as we're doing what the world is doing rather than doing what God has called upon us to do. He says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's verse 17. And then he starts in verse number 1 of chapter 5. Where he says, "Go to now, listen up, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. He says, behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. And then he says, be patient, therefore. He says, you gotta stop doing all those things. You gotta choose that you want to draw near to God. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. He's talking to brothers. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, be patient, therefore. Amen. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Then he cautions us about pride and prideful actions. Then he says, listen up. Listen carefully. Be aware. Be patient, therefore. For the Lord is coming. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. On a message I've entitled, Patiently Endure. Will we patiently endure? 2 points I want to share with you. God is calling on us to patiently endure. The first point is this. For the Lord is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Amen. And the second point is simply this. For the Lord is coming soon. He's coming soon. He is coming soon. Be patient, therefore, he says, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Let's look at first of all, for the Lord, he is coming. Now that word there, be patient, or those two words, be patient, is a single word translated from into two words, be patient. And it could have also have been translated long-spirited. Be long-spirited. And if you think about it in that sense, then verse 7 would read, be long in spirit, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And that word is used in 8 other places in the New Testament. And we're going to look at a couple of those today so that we might understand God's point to us here in James chapter 5, where he says, be patient, therefore, brethren. Let's first of all start in Luke 18. In Luke 18, that's on page 770 in your pew Bibles. Let's take a look at that. Luke 18, beginning at verse number 1. Luke 18, beginning at verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. This is Christ, and it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And the word be patient is that word long. So he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long, or though he lingers, though he is patient to return, is what the Bible is saying. We must patiently endure, and we must do it God's way, because the Lord is coming. And the Lord is going to come, and he's going to be the great judge. He says, even though God lingers, and this is the point I believe that God has given us, is that even when God lingers, we need to linger in his way, and we need to do things his way. Now, I want to show you another place where that same word is used. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, that's on page 885. And in Hebrews chapter number 6, we're looking at Abraham, and how Paul described Abraham and his walk with the Lord. So now we know that this word patience, it means to linger, it means to wait, it means to wait on the Lord, if I could put it that way very broadly. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 10, here's what the Bible says about Abraham. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So now God recognizes our present work for him, and God will, for the lack of a better term, will give us credit for the things that we do as we wait patiently for him. Not because we're trying to earn salvation, because that's impossible, but God has told us that we ought to work out our salvation. We ought to be doing things as evidence of our salvation so that others will be able to see this great God that we serve. He says, God is not unrighteous. God is not going to forget the things that you have done to uplift his kingdom. To bring people into the family of God. Verse 11, he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. And how long? Until the end. All right, now God is talking to us about being patient to endure, because God is not going to forget. He's not going to forget the righteous works that we do. So he says, be diligent and be faithful and stay in there and hope until the very end. He says that you be not slothful. You know what God is telling us? There's no place for laziness in the family of God. There's no place for laziness. Now, we could pause and really talk about a whole lot of things, but there's no place for laziness in getting to know God. Lest God would not have said to us, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh unto you. He says, there's no place for that. There's no place for laziness in praising the Lord when he does something great for us. We ought to be shouting it from God. You gave me safety on the trip. God, you gave me safety for food I ate. God, you provided for my needs. God says, be ye not slothful. Amen. Don't be lazy. Don't be caught up. He says, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience. You see what God is saying? Patiently endure. He's coming. He says, but you want to follow those that God has given you as examples, who through faith and patience will inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, he says, and if you need a reason to believe that God is coming, that Jesus is coming again, that God is going to do everything that he said, if you need a reason to be patient, God says, I give you one. He says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. Look what the Bible says. He swear by himself. God says, if you need a reason to believe that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, here's one. I am God.
Amen.
And I promise. And I'm not a man that I would lie. I'm God.
Amen.
He says, when Abraham said, they won't believe me. How do I believe you? How do I get them to believe me? God, what's going on? He says, he could swear by no greater name. Nothing greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, there it is right there. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now I want you to know, you think about Abraham's life. You think about Abraham's life. God called Abraham to leave his family and to go. And the Bible says he went. He took with him Lot and his wife and little else. And he found himself, you know, just following God wasn't going to be that easy. Abraham found himself in adversarial situations, even with his family. You know, he and Lot didn't completely get along. They separated themselves. Lot got himself in trouble. He had to go and fight for Lot to rescue him. He had people who wanted to hurt him, people who wanted to steal his wife away from him. He had times when he lied about who his wife really was. But God says, because he patiently endured, because he always came back to the point where God wanted him to be, he obtained the promise. And what was the promise? That through him, the whole world will be blessed. Aren't we blessed today?
Amen.
After he had patiently endured, he received the promise. What's my counsel to you today? Patiently endure. Jesus is coming. The Lord, he is coming. He is coming. So we ought to patiently endure, for the promise of God will be fulfilled. Now, the next place I want to show you is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, that's on page 848 in your pew Bibles. And so that we understand the patience that God expects of us, that patience is an action word that is spurred on by a love for God. And I'm sure you've read 1 Corinthians 13 a number of times. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and this love that God speaks here. Because I believe he's not speaking about a love for people. But he's talking about a love of God, a love towards God, a love for God in my heart. And then everything else is kind of pointless. In 1 Corinthians 13, and forgive me because I want to read all of this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's good right there. Put something there. I want to skip ahead of myself and then go backwards. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 6. I want to show you something and we'll go back there. It's on page 152. I want to show you in Deuteronomy 6 because I think it'll just kind of gel all the rest of that stuff together a little bit for us. In Deuteronomy 6. So we just read verse number 1 over in 1 Corinthians 13 where God says if I don't have love, it's like having a, you know, sounding just making noise and cymbals and clanging and noise. It means absolutely nothing. But I believe there he's talking about the love of God, the love that God expects that each one of us will hold into our hearts and that we will shed abroad. So that we will be able to patiently endure. In Deuteronomy 6, let's begin reading at verse number 1. I want to show you the love that God expects we hold into our hearts, first of all, and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 13. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And look what he says here in verse number 5. Now, he's established, just as he established with Abraham, that he was God. And the Bible says when he could swear by nothing greater, he swore by himself, I am God, and you can depend upon me. Now, here in Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse number 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And here's how the love of God comes to work in our lives. He says, and these words which I command thee this day that you're going to fall in love with, that you're going to love me, you're going to love me this way, these words shall be in your heart, the Bible says. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. God is talking about falling in love. And if you can remember what it was like to fall in love, and for those of you who are still working on it, I encourage you to work on love and not like. But for those of you who can remember what it was like to fall in love with a person, God is talking about, you know, how you long to be with them and you think about them when you're not with them and you think about them when you're with them and you want to do for them and et cetera, et cetera. And God is saying to us, I want you to love me like that. He says, I want it to be something that you think about. I want you to teach it. I want you to think about it when you lay down. Think about my word when you get up. I want you to bind it as a sign. I want you to put it over the post of your house. He says, I want you to love me. And when we're in love with God, then we can patiently endure. Now, I want to show you the love. Now, go backwards. Go backwards now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to understand this love. So he's already told us, love me. Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I want you to love me. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 again, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I don't love God, If I don't love God and the word of God and things of God, then I'm just making noise. I'm just making noise. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy. And let me tell you, that doesn't mean that prophecy doesn't happen. It means that it does. You know, he said, but it doesn't matter if your desire is to have prophetic words more than to have the love of God in your heart. He says, you don't have anything because God has told us to love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our everything. He says, and though I understand all mysteries, oh man, you're so smart. He says, and though I have all knowledge, people come and talk to you, but all they get is worldly wisdom. He says, it's nothing. It's nothing. He says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I'm nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Let me tell you what, there are people who have a lot, and they do a lot, and it profits them not at all. And I can sit up here and give you a whole lot of examples. On the news this week, I heard of a lady. Her husband is a billionaire. She's spending millions of dollars a month on horses. She just says they're just so wonderful creatures. She's just trying to make a good name for herself, make a good place for herself. But guess what it's all about? Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing at all. He says, you give it all away if you want. But if you don't have love, it profiteth me nothing. He says, here's the love of God. He says, charity or love suffereth long. There's that word again. He says, love is patient. Love stays the course. That's why when God says, you will love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your being, with all your everything, because if you love him like that, then you will stay the course. Quick commercial break. We need to learn how to love in our marriages that way. And we need to teach our children how to love their girlfriend, fiance, wife that way, to say, you know what, I'm going to love you long. I'm going to love you forever. I'm going to love you no matter what, until death do us part. But God says, here's what love does. It suffereth long. Love is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up. You know what he's saying? He's saying, when you fall in love with God, you don't have to be like God. You don't have to try to raise yourself up to be God. You don't have to raise yourself up to be better than the next guy. You can just be who God has called upon you to be. He says, charity is not puffed up. He says it doesn't. Verse 5, he says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity, love, never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come. Who's that? Jesus. When he comes, he says, I understood as a child. No, I went too far. Then that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I tell you what, I think he's talking about a transformation there. He says, oh boy, when I was in the world, I was a different fellow. But when I fell in love with Jesus, let me tell you what, I was like I went from a child to a man overnight, he says. When I was a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And you know what? A love for God will wait. And it will endure all things in great expectation that Jesus is coming. And that's God's ideal for us. That's God's ideal for us. James gives us a great illustration to add emphasis to the need for us to patiently wait. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren. He says, you be patient, therefore, brethren. And then he says, in the tail end of that verse there, he says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Now that's a fitting illustration to show us that sometimes we have to wait on good things to come. He says, behold, the worker of the land. That's what he's talking about here. The worker of the land. He waits on the precious fruit of the earth, his harvest. And he has to have long patience for it. He says, for he can't speed things up. And you think about that. You know, we can plant, but we can't speed it up. You know, if we try to speed it up, if we put too much water on the plants, they rot and they die. He says, you can't speed it up. You put too much light on it, they'll spring up, but they'll have no root and they'll die. But God is talking about patiently enduring, and he gives us a great example. He says, the worker of the land, he has to put it in the ground. Put that precious seed in the ground and then wait for God to do his work. He says he waits on the early rain and he waits on the latter rain. And when it's all said and done, then he gets his reward. He waits until the rain comes in expectation. And he knows this, just as sure as he's put it in the ground, and just as sure as God waters it, according to God's perfect plan, it's going to come up in due time, and he will have a harvest. You know what God is saying? Will you be so patient, and will you wait, and stay the course? Because Jesus is coming again. God has already planted the precious seed, and God has already sent the early rain, and God has already sent the latter rain. And in God's time, the Bible says not even Christ knows when God the Father is going to send him back. But he knows that he's coming again.
Amen.
And if Jesus can wait, I expect we can wait too.
Amen.
Will we be so patient as to wait and trust God that he is going to do what he said he's going to do?
Amen.
Patiently endures until he comes. One last thing about that. Look in Lamentations chapter 3. Page 605 in the Pew Bibles. Lamentations 3. Skip down to verse number 22. We'll just pick up a couple of verses here and then we'll move on. So that we might be encouraged to patiently endure, that we might be encouraged to linger long, to stay the course, to draw nigh to God, trust that he will draw nigh unto us. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, here's what the Bible says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Katie played today, great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. I'm in love with him. The Lord is my portion. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, draw nigh to him. He will draw nigh to you. He says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. For Jesus is coming. And get this, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And that's my second point. James chapter number 5, verse 8, he says, be also patient. He says, if the husbandman, the worker of the land, can be patient and plant and wait on the water, the early and the latter, he says, will ye be also patient? And what should you do while you're being patient? He says, will you just establish your hearts? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's coming soon. God has promised it. He promised it as he took him away. Look in Acts chapter number 1, page 801. He promised it as he took him away. As Christ ascended into the clouds, after revealing himself to the apostles and to so many others, his disciples and so many others. In Acts chapter number 1, skip down to verse number 6. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming real soon. Acts chapter 1, verse number 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He says, but ye shall receive power. Not the power of God, not to be God, not to change things around, not to set things up according to the way you would have them to be set up. But he says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, what are you looking at? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He said, the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Why can I believe that? Because God said it. He says, what are you standing here looking for? You know what I think God is telling us through this verse? We are to patiently wait. But waiting doesn't just involve looking to the sky. He says, we are to patiently wait. We are to hope in him. We are to wait on our salvation. We are to work out our salvation. We are to be about some love and enduring and be charitable and teaching people about this God that we serve.
Amen.
We got to be patient and we got to wait. God has given us several points of encouragement, and I'm almost done. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3.
Amen.
It's on page 899 in your pew Bibles. I think God has told us to be patient, to wait on God, to look for him. And he's promised that there will be rewards for those who hope and who wait in him. In 2 Peter 3, I want to show you this, almost the whole thing. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's start at verse number 1. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now I want you to know that God is saying, you be patient and you endure, because there are going to be people who are going to challenge you on your faith and say, well, what you waiting on? Well, if he is coming, why didn't he come? If he's coming, where is he? I think that he's not worthy of faith and he's not worthy of believing in. And they're going to try to discourage you and lead you astray. But God says, I want you to be aware that those are just scoffers. Those are just people full of empty words. He says, they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years.
Amen.
And a thousand years is one day. Let me tell you what, he says we got to patiently wait, because God says he's coming. And when God says he's coming in a generation, we don't know if that's a generation of his time, but it's certainly not a generation of our time, but God is certainly coming. He says God is not on the same time schedule. God is not on your schedule. God might come while I am still alive, and God might come 100 years after I'm dead, but Jesus is coming, and it is worthy of my praise and worthy of my waiting. And for all the days that I live, I commit to you today that I will patiently endure. There ain't no turning back for me. There ain't no turning back. There ain't no turning back. He says, we don't know what God's plan is, but every day that God tarries, it's because our God is a faithful God and is giving lost people an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. That's what he says next. He says, all right, well, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but as long suffering, is patient to usward. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every day he waits. He's waiting on your friend. He's waiting on your brother. He's waiting on your daddy. He's waiting on your neighbor. He's waiting on your coworker. Every day he waits. And every day we wait, we ought to say, Lord, though I might have to suffer today, if just one comes to know you as Savior today, one more we'll have in the kingdom of heaven. You know what that's all about? Falling in love with Jesus. That's what he's talking about. You know, this morning as I was kind of looking over my everything and getting ready, and that I thought of a song that a songwriter wrote. I don't even know who the guy is, and I played it for myself for a few minutes. But the song just simply said, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever did. Because it changed me. And with his love, I'm always protected. I'm never disconnected. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. Well, he's talking about being in love right now. He's saying every day that he waits is an opportunity for somebody else to fall in love with him. He says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Lord, and coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, that he's coming. He's coming soon. He says, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, endure, stay the course, that ye may be found in him, found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Oh, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. But you know what God is calling upon us to do? Man, I said I was only going to read the 15. We got to finish that. Two more. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, therefore beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. He says, be patient, be endure, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But grow in grace. You know, every day we should be growing. Grow in grace every day. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever, until he comes again. Amen. Let's close out with one last passage. I'll be done in Isaiah. In Isaiah 26, page 529, God is promising deliverance in this passage. Isaiah was a prophet that God used during a period of time where the children of Israel were going backward and forward in their faithfulness. And here God is promising deliverance to the children of Israel after they have sinned, and now they have turned back from their sin and they've repented. He promised that he would deliver them. And I believe that though these words were written specifically for the children of Israel, that we can stand upon this promise as it relates to God's promise to us for our deliverance from this world to the everlasting. Isaiah 26, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now, I want you to know what God is saying here. God has given them a picture, a spiritual picture of a city. He says, in that day when God delivers, in that day when God sets His people up as His people, and I think we can stand in that today because we are saved by grace, the grace of God. God has given us everything that we need to, in order to be able to patiently endure. But look at this. In that we have salvation, He says, we have a strong city. And God's strong city, salvation is going to be the walls of that city. He said, that's going to be our protection. It's going to be salvation. God is just going to wrap us up. He said, that's going to be their walls and their bulwarks. He says, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in, may enter into salvation. And when you enter into the salvation of God, look what he says in verse number 3, and thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Patiently enduring. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. So that we might believe that Jesus is coming. So that we believe, might believe. And God says we need to be long in spirit. That we need to patiently endure. You need encouragement. We find encouragement here, especially in verse number 4, where he says, trust in the Lord, not just for today, but forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You want to patiently endure, you better ask God to do it for you, because he's the only one that can. Why should we do it? Because Jesus is coming again, and he is coming again soon. Let's pray. Father, for the truth of your word, I'm thankful today. I pray that those who are listening here today might have a desire to be patient, therefore. And Lord, in seeking the therefore, we've learned that we are to draw nigh to you and trust you to draw nigh unto us. That we're to humble ourselves before you. That we are to avoid pride and prideful situations and being puffed up. But we should just allow you, Lord, to be that precious seed that's planted within our hearts. And that we are to put spiritual water on it from day to day. And we're to trust and wait, Lord, for you to bring all things into harvest in the day of your choosing. I pray, Father, that we might just never forget that you're coming. That we can't speed it up. We can't slow it down. But every day, Father, that you linger. Every day that you patiently endure, help us to remember that you're doing it, Lord, so that your kingdom might be strengthened, that men and women who are lost might come to know you as Savior. Lord, I pray for the lost today. I pray that they might not just keep on believing that this is as good as it gets, but I pray, Father, that they might open their eyes to the truth of your gospel, that they might bow their knees before you, that they might ask you, Lord, to come and enter into their hearts and to forgive them of their sins and to place their names on that great book of life, Lord, I pray. You bless us. Bless us richly, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.